Who doesn't want a great sex life? I know I do. But a lot of times in relationships, maybe yours, the sex starts out great, it's a new relationship, and then it kind of fizzles over time. My next guest is going to help you reignite your sex life. Sarah Rose is on the show. Now, Sarah is a men's sex coach, a very sought-after men's sex coach, and she is also the host and creator of Tantric Activation, a very popular podcast. You got to check it out. Now, Sarah is a tantra practitioner devoted to helping others reach a higher plane of passion and pleasure. She realized early on that the only way to get there was through a holistic approach. You can't make love better if you don't love yourself, and you can't feel more in intercourse if you are not in touch with your body. Now, Sarah has been featured in publications. Maybe you've heard of them: Vogue, Cosmopolitan, New York Post, Healthline, and Men's Health. Put the kids to bed and take some notes. Sarah Rose on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the CJ Evolution Podcast. Patrick here, host and creator. Thank you for tuning into the show. We know you have many options, but thank you for listening. We sure do appreciate you. And if you have a moment, head over to Apple Podcasts, give us that 5-star rating and review. We sure would appreciate it. A big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, wherever you were at, wherever you are doing in that field. Thank you for doing it. Remember this: you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Stay safe, and thank you for your service. I want to thank our sponsor, Detect-A-Chem. Detect-A-Chem is an amazing and innovative company helping you, the first responder and criminal justice professional, be safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives. Now, COVID-19, folks, this application technology is a must-have for your organization. Head over to CJ Evolution and check out the link to Detect-A-Chem. Keep your troops safer with Detect-A-Chem. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm very excited to have my next guest on the show, Sarah Rose. She's a men's sex coach and podcast host of the very popular Tantric Activation. Sarah, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. So glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate it. So I got to ask the obvious question. How did you become, what was the catalyst that made you become a very, very popular, sought after men's sex coach?
I had really great sex.
And so you were like, oh shit, I want to be a pop.
Easy as that.
And you realize probably, I mean, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but a lot of men out there struggle with sex and intimacy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So basically I was in a 13-year relationship with very unsatisfying sex. And then when I came out of that relationship, so I had already been doing yoga and like personal development and stuff for a decade. And then from there, I found Tantra, and that relationship was ending. I went to India. I trained in Tantra there in 2013 and 14. And then when I got back, I was, I met a guy that had the same lineage as me. He had been training in Tantra for over a decade
Tantra
himself.
What's Tantra really quick?
Yeah. So Tantra is... Tantra and tantric sex are actually two different things. So Tantra comes from India originally. It was a lifestyle practice, a spiritual development path towards enlightenment. Like, it really had that goal of becoming enlightened with it. Tantric sex is something that was kind of developed in the 1960s, and it's more of a focus on having better sex, using breath, using meditation type practices to have better sex. So
interesting.
Yeah, I'm actually trained in both, and I kind of combine the two along with combining with evolutionary biology and BDSM, like domination and submission. There's a lot of different ways that I go bring it all together just to help people have amazing sex.
Awesome. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Sarah, but I just, the listener might not know what Tantra is, but continue. So you went, you got trained up.
Yeah. And then I met this guy, and then like we were together for 2 years and we were exploring both Tantra and tantric sex. And then, it was amazing, like just absolutely incredible for 2 years. And when that relationship ended, I was just like out in the real world again.
You know? You were like, oh, geez, I miss it.
Oh my God, this is so bad. And so I was like, okay, it was no longer possible for me to just teach locally. I was living in Austin and I had been teaching locally. And I was like, all right, this has to go global. Like, yeah. I know a really amazing secret that can totally transform relationships and lives. And so I did it. I was like, let's just, you know, I'm going to go big, go bold. And here I am.
Well, we thank you for what you do. Because I think it's important. I mean, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but for the listener, I mean, I think, and I'll speak from my own experience, you know, you get married, you have a relationship, not necessarily a marriage, but you have a spouse or a partner or whatever. And then immediately at first it's like, oh my God, you know, the sex is great. But it kind of wears off, right? Or it gets old and it kind of routine, you know, and then, so this could revive a sex life, right? I mean, this right. could revive a sex life that's maybe mediocre.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So what happens is when like love actually has three stages, and the first stage of love is testosterone driven. And that's lust, where you're literally just like, I need someone, something to fuck, like whatever it is. So like, you go out there, find, you know, somebody that you're compatible with. And then, you know, possibly what happens is you end up falling in love, go through that romantic period of like, oh my God, everything's amazing. This person is perfect. I'm so in love, you know, like that whole euphoria that people go through. And that stage of love can only last from 4 to 18 months. Because
that's a big gap. 4 to 18 months.
If you're lucky, you get 18 months out of it, but like most people don't get that long.
Yeah.
And so it's dopamine, like the amounts of dopamine, serotonin, and adrenaline that are literally coursing through your body during that time. If it went on beyond 18 months, you would go insane. The brain can't handle it. But you can imagine, like, we feel insane when we're in love, right? Like, it's just this whole, like, who am I? I don't even know myself, you know? And then when that ends, often, like, the amazing sex ends with it. And it's all biological. Like, it's literally something, it's beyond our control, because the whole purpose of that time is to procreate. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from an evolutionary perspective, if, you know, we're out tribal people, you know, within 4 to 18 months, like procreation would have happened, there would now be an offspring. And then the third stage of love is this oxytocin bonded state of connection. And, you know, just like, oh, we're this unit, this family unit. Mm-hmm. It's all about caring for the offspring, but that only lasts until the offspring is of survivable age, which is 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
So basically, like, by time you get to that point of like, you've spent enough time with this person to procreate and get a kid to 6 years of age, biology's like, you two are done with each other. Off to the
time
next
to move
person.
On.
It literally is, because from
built that way.
Like, from the survival of the species, it makes more sense to have genetic differences. So instead of having a lot of children with the same person, we're better off surviving if there's like multiple genes going on, you know, different forms of this. So yeah, if we want to have long-term monogamous relationships, we have to hack our biology.
Okay. Why is it so hard for people to,
you know, change their sex life. I'm sure you get this all the time, people asking you questions, because sex obviously is a very important part of a healthy relationship, right? I mean, so why is it hard for some people to say, is it an ego thing? Men in particular, they I need help. I need help with my sex life. Is that the reason, ego or what?
Yeah. I mean, men have a lot of pressure when it comes to sex to know what they're doing, to, you know, have all the answers, to lead. But they haven't been given the training to do that. What other part of life are you expected to lead without any training? You know,
if
like if you're in the military, they're not going to put you in a leadership position without you having training there first.
Well, let me interrupt you. I've known a lot of idiots that had some rank that were in the military and in law enforcement that were leading. So enough said.
Okay.
That's not the norm.
That's a very, very scary thing to know.
It's a very scary thing to know. I'm not in military or law enforcement. I'd get in trouble. But anyway, but it makes sense. Yeah. Right. Men aren't trained women. I imagine they're in the same boat to some extent
that
you deal, you know, mostly with men. And it makes sense, you know, because we have to keep learning and training and evolving to become better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, and, you know, like any other part of life, I mean, I work with a business coach. I work with, you know, when I was doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, I had my Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach. Like, I'm always working with coaches, and they just make my life better, no matter what part of life it is. Having somebody there just as an accountability, as a reminder to pay attention to this part of my life, you know, as a someone to bounce ideas off of, to come to when there's a struggle. It's just helpful to have people, and it's no different for your sex life or your relationship.
Yeah. And I tell people too, and you know this, and maybe the listeners do, but Tiger Woods has a coach, or used to have a coach. I mean, he's the best golfer in the world at the time, and he's got a coach. But to your point, I mean, it's just because you're at the top of your game, or you're successful, or you have a great sex life now, you have to build on that, right? I mean, you need a coach.
Yeah.
You need somebody to build on that. Now, the one thing that you mentioned when we started was testosterone. Now, years ago, I'm going to share with you and the listeners, some people might know this, but I got on a testosterone therapy because my testosterone levels were, you know, in the toilet. Do you recommend that for people or men? You know, because I feel great, you know, I think it did a lot for me. It continues to do a lot for me, but do you recommend that? And again, I'm not a spokesman for tea or anything like that, but I think it's helpful in some cases.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely a medical question, and I try to stay in my lane
be
a doctor, you know, so if it's something that your doctor recommends, then absolutely, like but that's something between you and your doctor. Yeah.
But that can help, right? That can help with
yeah. I mean, I've seen it help for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you get a new client and you get a new client who's a man, I mean, walk us through a little bit what goes on, you know, with the first, without obviously getting into specific patients or clients, but what happens?
Yeah. So typically we'll have our first call, and he'll let me know like what's going on in his sex life and in his relationship and, you know, just in his life. Like maybe he just recently came out of a divorce and, you know, has had a shot to his confidence because of everything that happened in the relationship and the divorce process, or, you know, maybe they've been together. He's in a relationship, they've been together, and just like his libido's died. He's not really into it anymore. You know, so we'll talk about these things. And then he comes into my program. It's the Man on Fire program. And we have a coaching call once a week. That's an hour and a half. And in this call, like I will answer questions and I'll give coaching. But coaching is very different than therapy. Like, we're not sitting around talking around about problems all the time. Like, yeah, it's important that I get what's going on, but we're more focused on moving forward.
Sure.
And,
action.
You know, like, yeah, it's very, very action oriented. So every week They're given information around what it is that we're doing that week, why they're doing it, and a practice to do. And the practice they do like 4 or 5 times a week. They're usually about 20 minutes long. And the practices work on their physical body, but also their emotions, the mind as well, definitely the mental aspect of things, and but also the energetics. Like sex is actually very energetic, and it's amazing when men start to develop that part of themselves, how incredible sex can be for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you know this, Sarah, and of course the listeners, I mean, I got a law enforcement background, military, a lot of listeners have the same background. And as you know, like we were talking before we started, I mean, the first responder community now is being, you know, decimated. They're not, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of cops that I talk to are depressed, they're anxious, they have a lot of anxiety. So that can affect, obviously, their sex lives. Because I know when I was on the job and I was going through periods in my life, depressed, I mean, that was the last thing I was thinking about.
Yeah, right. Definitely. And it's unfortunately a huge deal. You know, a lot of men, they'll go to their doctor and their doctor's like, there's nothing wrong. Like everything's fine. See a sex therapist, you know, or get some sort of, you know,
ED.
Yeah. You know, like ED from the psychological aspect of it. It's a big deal. I mean, up to 30 million men in America struggle with psychological ED. So it's a huge number. And stress, what happens is stress actually constricts the blood vessels, which makes it more difficult to get blood flow into the penis. And then what happens then is, you know, a guy is like, oh shit, what's going on? And then he's even more stressed and there's less blood flow to the penis. So it's really important to know how to relax, how to have techniques to get out of your head, to reduce the tension, reduce the anxiety. And that's how Tantra is really helpful, like using practices that do incorporate your breath, that incorporate visualization, that incorporate just making sounds that reduce the tension in your body. You know, practices that are more about connection and intimacy with your partner rather than being performance-based. If you're having performance-based sex, like that's stressful in itself. But if you're there with a woman that you are in love with, that she is comfortable with you, you're comfortable with her, you're connected, there's intimacy, there's love flowing between the two of you, that's a much more relaxed state than coming in of like, all right, I've got to be Superman and, you know, fuck this woman. And you know what I mean? Like it's a totally different mentality. And it helps with just coming out of that fight or flight state or even freeze state that a lot of people are in.
Mm-hmm. And tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, most women just want, I mean, again, I'm not trying, I mean, I don't know, but you know, I've been married a couple times and a lot, my relationships just wanted the intimacy. They wanted, you know, that aspect of it rather than just banging it out. You know what I mean? They want that intimacy. So that should men concentrate on that more along with the sex, or I guess it depends on what each want, right? Or what they're after. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, you can like the guys that I work with, like they're definitely fucking their women and like just having incredible sex. But along with it is this flow state, this connection, this deeply satisfying sex that, you know, most of the time when we think about sex, it lasts maybe like 15 minutes. Maybe there's, you know, a bit of foreplay included in that, you know, and then people are just kind of like, all right, done. The guy ejaculates, it's over. Women aren't satisfied with that. They're just not. And, you know, divorce rates every single year, we're seeing the reason cited for divorce as sexual dissatisfaction go up. And women are the ones that are filing for divorce with this, you know, with this reason. So, you know, women are evolving, they've changed, they have different expectations now, they want sex that satisfies them. And so the old way of going about it, and unfortunately what's shown in porn most of the time, just is not what satisfies women. And so I help guys bridge that gap, you know, like it's not your fault that you don't know because nobody's taught you, but it is your responsibility to get education around this.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't, so most women want more than just that's it. But what are women looking for? I mean, they're looking for a longer period, more intimacy or what?
Yeah. So it can take a woman's body up to like 40 minutes to have deep cervical orgasms. And that type of orgasm takes very gentle penetration, like over and over and over again. Like even with clitoral orgasms, one of the guys that I work with, he watched one of my videos and he's new to the program. And he just this week got on the call with me and he was like, he's like, Sarah, thank you so much. He's like, you, one of the things that I say in the video is basically just like, it's going to take, it takes a lot longer than you think it's going to take. Whatever you think it's going to take to give her an orgasm, go 10 times longer mm-hmm. than that. And he's like, just that one simple tip. He's like, that changed everything. And the woman that I had sex with said that she had never had a guy please her like that before. And I'm like, that's just like such a small thing compared to our 6 months together, you know, yeah. all the tips that he's going to get.
Now, why, as far as the emotional connection, are men wired not to have much of an emotional connection than women when it comes to, I guess I'm making the assumption that women are more emotionally connected with the act of having sex than men. But I think, you know, the guys I know, I mean, it's not that they're not connected, but they don't have that emotional attachment sometimes that females do. Does that make sense? Or just men just wire that? Or does it go back to what you say about men are just, it's in our DNA or whatever genetics to go out there and just have multiple partners?
I mean, it's in women's DNA to have multiple partners as well from mm-hmm. an evolutionary perspective. So it's more about men have been trained, they've been conditioned to not have this emotional connection, but it's a human need. It's a human desire to want love. We all want love. We all want to connect. And, you know, men just have had less of an opportunity to express that part of themselves. It's not socially acceptable for men to express that part of themselves. So they shut down. They shut down, you know, from being a toddler. They learn like, no, it's not okay to open up my heart. It's not okay to be emotional. And so, of course, when then they're in relationship and deeply desiring this, but shutting down that part of themselves and then, you know, a woman, it's like as much of it is a man's desire to like fuck a woman and her pussy and penetrate her that way. It's a woman's desire to penetrate a man in his heart. And so we've got all these, you know, men whose hearts are closed off and women are frustrated. We've got, you know, women that are like, okay, well then I'm feeling stifled. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm not going to give you my pussy anymore. And then the men are frustrated and everyone's pissed off at each other. And it's just a big mess that we're in.
So you're not talking about piercing the heart like a kill, Lorena Bobbitt kind of thing. Of course, that wasn't the heart. It was something else. No, I get what you mean. Emotionally and to get through the man. I mean, do you think men are becoming better when it comes to because I know personally, I've come a long way with opening up. But do you think men on a whole are getting better with this? Or do you think we're still kind of need a lot of help?
I think the guys still need a lot of help. But I do think that a shift is happening, mm-hmm. you know, but we are looking at 10, 12,000 years of conditioning that men have had. So this is in your DNA at this point, you know, mm-hmm. through epigenetics, like you have been trained that it's not okay to express these parts of yourself. And so, you know, but the shift is happening. There's more awareness of emotional intelligence and the importance of that in all aspects of our life. And women are speaking up, demanding it as well. And also, you know, women are often though as much to blame as men are. Like women don't women have the conditioning as well, that it's not okay for men to open up emotionally. Mm-hmm. And when they do, women often freak out, you know? So there's a lot of growth that needs to happen with everybody.
Yeah. So, but some women still want that amount. You tell me if I'm wrong. They want that, you know, type A warrior mentality, you know, and a protector kind of, or along with the opening up and emotionally and a great sex life, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely super attractive to be with a guy that is, you know, confident and has that protector mentality. Very, very attractive. And, you know, but I think there's a lot of ways that the guys are now wanting more than one thing from a woman as well. You know, like they don't want a woman that's just going to be, you know, wife and mother. Like they want someone who's also fun in the bedroom, mm-hmm. you know? So I think we're all starting to finally see each other as more than just one thing, you know, yeah. It's like, okay. So people were transitioning, but yeah. It can be a slow process.
Now, as far as like advice for men, Sarah, about like for the men out there who are in the dating world, I know a lot of, you know, a lot of things is online now. You got Bumble and Tinder and all this other stuff. So what do you think is the best way for single men out there to connect and to start dating and meeting women? I mean, I know that you're a sex coach, but, and I'm sure you get this question a lot. I mean, where do I meet all the good women? Just like women are asking the same thing. Where do I meet all the good men? Is it just all, do you think it's a traditional way, face-to-face, or is it, I mean, at some point you're going to meet face-to-face, but I know a lot of things are online right now.
Yeah. So online is a big deal. A lot of people are meeting online and having long-term relationships come of it. I still think if you can meet in person, that it's better, especially for men. You know, it's a different dynamic. Like I think women have an easier time online than men typically do. And so if you can just, you know, get part of groups, have friends introduce you to people, things like that are going to be really helpful.
You don't want to get catfished.
You don't want to get catfished. I mean, and it's a waste of time a lot. Yeah. Like, you know, I've done online dating and you just like spend so much time with the swiping and the chatting and the first dates that don't go anywhere, you know, and it's a lot easier if you just meet somebody and you're like, oh, there's a connection here and let's see what happens.
In a public place and all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, and I think now we can go to bars again, we can go to clubs. Like there's plenty of places to meet people. Mm-hmm.
So what advice would you give for the listeners out there? And I think we covered a lot of it, but some more action tips that they can do right now if they're struggling sexually, you know, with their sexual, you know, performance in bed with their partner, whoever that may be. What advice would you give them? Maybe a couple of good tips.
Yeah. So,
besides hiring,
of course,
Sarah,
right. Of course it depends on what the struggle is.
Sure.
But in relationships, really communication is where mm-hmm. it all starts. Like your sex life is dependent on your communication. Your relationship is dependent on your communication. Like in that is actually more difficult for men than the sex problems itself. You know, they're mm-hmm. like, you want me to talk about this stuff? You know, like, it's like the hardest thing. But I love one of my clients, he was just talking the other night about how the biggest thing that he learned from working with me was how to become comfortable talking about sex. And he came to me right after he actually started with me the day that his divorce finalized. And he's like, Sarah, if I had known this stuff then, I would have saved my marriage. My marriage would have stayed together, but it didn't. He now has created an incredible new relationship with a wonderful woman there, you know, but he's like, communication is why we have such great sex and such a great relationship.
Just needs and wants. I mean, it makes sense. Everything centers around good and effective and clear communication. It makes sense that a sexual conversation would be the same.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times, speaking from my experience, you know, you don't, you're just assuming what the other partner wants, or your, you know, the partner wants, instead of just communicating or asking.
Yeah. And communication creates intimacy. Like when you're talking about deep things, not just surface level, like, oh, how was work today? Or, you know, I took the kids to soccer practice. Okay. Well, you know what I mean? Like nobody gets any charge out of that. But when you're like really being intimate with somebody, like talking about how you feel and your dreams and your desires and what you want and what you love about this person and what they, and hearing what they love about you. And that just opens up all of this space inside. And like, it's just this free flow of energy that happens, and so much passion, it just comes out of it. Like you can, when you connect on that level, the sex just automatically is better.
Should men always take the lead when it comes to this? Or I guess it depends on the relationship.
Because— No, definitely not. I mean, I don't think we need to be just, I can't think like just tied to gender roles anymore. But I do think that it's good for men to lead, you know, and to like, it doesn't mean that if she leads that you gonna be like, stop that. We're not gonna like shut her down if she does, but like, why not take the first step? Why not always be like, just take the initiative, you know? That's how I am in my relationship. Like, I don't expect that he's always going to take the initiative with everything. Like, he's got a life too. He's got a lot going on.
Sure.
Do I like that when he does? Absolutely. Like, that's great. But I don't, you know, I'm not going to be like, well, I'm not having sex with him because he didn't
take the lead. Because I think that's a problem too, where like you, I think you mentioned it before, where emotionally, I mean, then sex is withheld, right? I mean, if you're not communicating and it's used, it could be used as a weapon sometimes.
Definitely. Yep.
Now you don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to do that. And I mean, relationships are the number one place, the best opportunity for evolution in your life, for growth, for healing. And my perspective on relationships is to always be the bigger person, always be the first one to take that step to come back together. Always be the first one to say, I'm sorry. Always be the first one to say, I take responsibility for what happened here.
Yeah.
That's the only way to have a successful relationship.
Wow. I mean, very good advice. I mean, it's so simple, but it's so hard for a lot of people to put it into practice. I really like what you said about, you know, I got really good with that over the years. I wasn't always like that, but look, I'm sorry. I fucked up. I made a mistake. That goes a long way. Even if, you know, the person doesn't want to hear it at the time, you're owning it. Like you said, you're owning your part in it.
Yeah. A life where you take radical responsibility for the life that you've created, that is a life worth living.
Yeah. And it has to be genuine. It can't be this half-ass, you know, apology, because most people are, you know, they can smell BS, right?
Right.
Well, Sarah Rose, thank you so much for educating. I feel like I could talk to you all day about, you know, men's issues and sexual performance. Thank you so much. Where can people find you? I know I found you immediately. You're all over social media. You're like a superstar on social media. Where can they find you as far as your website and your coaching and your podcast?
Yeah. So Tantric Activation is my website, tantricactivation.com. I'm Sarah Rose. Sarah has two R's, S-A-R-R-A-H, Sarah Rose. So yeah, if you go to my website, that will give you links to everywhere.
And everything will be linked up in the show notes. Sarah, it was a pleasure. I'd love to have you back on and get to and dive more deeper, no pun intended, into this, these conversations. So wish you the best of luck. If you need anything, please reach out, Sarah. Thank you for being on.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.